Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Things among us that we see certain strange things that have been strange to you before will not be strange to you, because the dealings and the workings of God will begin to become normal with us. It should become normal for you that you have a need, and as when you add the need, the provision came. It should become normal to us. Hallelujah. You are not getting me. Should become normal. It's the life we should live every day. This is where we need daily bread. You don't need it in heaven. God does not eat bread. Amen. This is where it is needed. It should become normal for your life that you see that you're living a life supernatural from here. I remember Balogi taught a message one time about Jesus telling the disciples that I am going to prepare a place for you. How many of you remember that message? And most times you think he was saying, I want to go and prepare heaven for you so that you come. Heaven has been prepared. What he was telling them was, I'm going to the cross because of you. And then the life that I am living in the supernatural, where I am, you can also live the same life where you are. And that is why our living the earth is only a translation. Praise God. It should be a translation. And yesterday we were talking about the groaning. You know, while we were studying for this morning's believers class, about the groaning that happens to us because we are children of God. We know that we are more than this, but somewhere, somehow, we know that that life is still being caged inside. And that life is seeking to find expression. I hope you know that Jesus already consecrated the way for us. And then he took that curtain that blocked people from the holiest of all and tore it from top to bottom, saying that there is no secret anymore. God is not hiding anything from us anymore. If he's keeping anything at all, it's probably because the time is not yet. But know what he has given us himself. Bible says, he that gave us his son, how will he not freely give us all things? So he has given us all things. And Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, where he talked about all things being yours. Okay? So understanding that God has given you freely all things is what gives us the strength and the boldness to want to press. Hallelujah. Are we together? When we are talking about you fasting and praying, that we are saying this, that understanding can settle. And from that understanding, you can do every other thing. That God has given you all things, both in heaven and where? On earth. Hallelujah. So this morning is good to be here. I've been struggling with the message to preach this morning. I told my wife this morning, as at this moment, one of the reasons I came late. But there's I want us to read scripture. Let's read Psalm 44. All of us will read together. That should not take us more than just a few chapters. Psalm 44. If you didn't come with the Bible, we have a screen here. But when you are going on, don't take our screen along. Hallelujah. Can we go? We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and an arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by thy price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that preacheth and blasphemeth, by raising of the enemy and the avenger. For this is come upon us, yet we have not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast so broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search us out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, and our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want us to... there's something about the life of that man called Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Let's see, and verse 7. 2 Chronicles 1, 7. Okay, let's read from 5. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Let's see NLT for that place. What do you want? If God appears to you in the night and asks you, what do you want? What will you see? Don't answer. I don't think God asks too many people this kind of thing. God comes to you and asks you, what do you want? You have not realized that question. You have not realized it. All this time we are still struggling about buying a car and all that. God comes and says, what do you want? How do you know this man was not believing in church? This man had an encounter. I don't know. The Bible didn't tell us how it happened. But I think it may likely be in a dream or in a vision. God walks into a man and asks him, ask what I shall give thee. King James way, ask what I shall give thee. In other words, it's like I have given it, but ask. Let's see his response. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Verse 9. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Up to now, we have always thought that the reason why God appeared to Solomon was because he gave 1,000 burnt offerings. And you know, many messages have been preached with that. If you have been under such a ministration, shout hallelujah. That Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings. And in the night, God appeared to him. You also have to give $1,000. And the Lord will appear to you tonight. You are on your own. I know it was not because you offered the 1,000 burnt offerings. Some people offered more than this. You thought he was the one that offered the largest. Let's go back. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. No? 1 Chronicles 29. Read from verse 19. 1 Chronicles 29 from verse 19. Okay, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments. Listen, it was because of David that God visited him. It was not because of Solomon. His father prayed for him before he left. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. 20. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of your fathers, and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the King. 21. And they sacrificed unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day. Even what? 1,000 bullocks. That is how many? And 1,000 lambs. That is how many? With their drink offerings and sacrifices. So don't think Solomon was the one who gave the best offering to God. He was not the one. In the days of his father, they had given much more than that. And that's why, as we're going to be talking about your kingdom come in scripture towards the convention, we're going to be saying many, many things about the kingdom. You know, the first person to pray dying in the kingdom was David. It wasn't Jesus. I saw that while I was going through Chronicles. David made that statement. And I'm like, what kind of a man was David? He said, dying is the word. He doesn't even say it first. You can search. Just say, dying is the kingdom and search. You find out David was first. So, we're going to be saying many, many things about the kingdom now. There are many, many principles that run. Then don't think they put these things in the Bible because there was no space or they had nothing to do. These are models of principles that run in the kingdom of God. And we need to begin to pay attention. So, Solomon was not the first to give 1,000 burnt offerings. There's another place in 2 Chronicles 35, 7-10. Can we see quickly? I'm not going to be talking too many this morning. 2 Chronicles 35 from verse 7. Men are giving sacrifices. Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids for the Passover offerings for all that were present to the number of how many? 24. And what? 3,000 bullocks. These were the king's substance. So, it was not his 1,000 burnt offerings that attracted God. However, I know that his offering could have activated certain things. I am saying this because I find Solomon as a man who rode on the back of his father. As a matter of fact, God said, the reason why I will not withdraw my loving kindness from him is because of his father. God told his father, he said, I will not withdraw my loving kindness from him. Because me and you, we have a pact. If an ordinary man had tried what Solomon tried, he would have gone. How many wives? How many wives now? Is it 700 or 600? Concubines, the man we're even reading about in our Abuja. They said the man was great. And marked for 10 wives. I think for that, I said the man really was great. Well, he was not as great as Solomon. So be careful, sir, when God says, I will bless you. Be careful, because even when God blesses you, there will be opportunities to misbehave. You don't know what God's blessing is. Even when you do wrong, they receive blessings for you. You don't get. People walk in anointing. They are doing. Why do you think some men of God ended up anyhow? Because they were doing the wrong thing. The anointing was increasing. They were blessing you. The thing was expanding. So, Pastor Roy told us of a man who God sent him to tell him he would die. And the man told Pastor Roy, he said, Pastor Roy told us many of the things that went wrong with the man at that time. And the man told Pastor Roy, he said, God, he said, he's my father. I know. He said, before Pastor Roy even got there to tell him that he would die, he told Pastor Roy, before Pastor Roy opened his mouth, he said, oh, God sent you to me, I mean, to tell me that I'm going to die. He said, I already know. Before Pastor Roy said anything, he said, but look, God is my father. I have my way with him. Don't worry. That was the way he said it. He said, God is my father, and I have my way with him. So don't worry. If I'm the prophet, I'll just keep quiet. People have walked in what you call eternal life is dangerous. Did you hear me? People said that to some people, we are savour of life unto life. To some people, we can minister what? How much more God? Paul says, some of you take this holy communion. You take it unworthily. You are sleeping and you are dying. What do you think corrupted the devil? What corrupted Lucifer? Glory means. You can look at yourself in glory and say, that same life, that eternal life that is giving life, if you receive it wrongly, some people, we can't correct them again today because they have entered certain things. It only takes God to bring them back. Listen to me, when praying for God's blessing, be careful. Because you don't let me speak blasphemy. In other words, the man was great. And as he was waxing great with the wisdom of God, he was amassing wealth. He was amassing gold. Bible says servants were born in his house. Somebody interpreted that to mean that right there in his house, the man, Solomon amused himself with so many things. He was a very, very terrible person. Somebody said it probably meant that he allowed slaves to sleep right before him. He was watching them and they were giving birth to children. I don't know. But he said, he told us in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he said, I tried to satisfy myself using so many things. His heart, the reason was so much for that man that his heart was insatiable. He wanted to push to the limits. What do you have, Seth? That's why Solomon will also stand and judge many of us. He will stand. It's not only the Queen of Sheba that will stand. Even Solomon will stand. He will say, God, I couldn't resist it. Then Solomon will stand and say, what did you kilo me? What do you have? To what extent did you go? Solomon went to the man was, he had, the wisdom was so running in his mind that he was experimenting. So I tried to use wine. He saw that wine was not doing it. He tried women. Women, 1,000, he slept with all of them. The vilest of sinners, I don't know if you are staying with 1,000 women. The vilest of sinners that is alive right now. I don't know if you are slaving the baddest guy alive. I don't know if he has the record of having slept with 1,000 women. I don't know. But he went as far as, and some of them, he probably didn't sleep with them more than once. Or sleep with them. Good. That thing that is in your life that you think, I can't stop, I will die there. Hell is waiting for you. There's nothing in this world you say I am doing, I can't stop it. It's too sweet. What is sweet? What is sweet? Say it's too sweet. You don't understand. They are talking to you, say, you don't just understand. See, that desire on your inside to give you. Please go and tame it. If you cannot tame it, tell God to help you. And you know 1,000 means a day. In his presence. 1,000 days here is one day before God. And that was why there was no body. Even when men were living 900 years, God did not allow anybody to clock 1,000. Methuselah, the oldest of them, clocked 969. If you clock 1,000 before God, that is one full day. Solomon clocked 1,000 women. Meaning that, so when he was writing in Ecclesiastes that Motichaye be experience, please believe his story. Say you are hearing. Believe what? I don't know if anybody's words today can still compare with Solomon's words that time. God said nobody, no king coming after you will be as wealthy. How many years ago are we talking about? We are talking about thousands of years ago. He says, the Bible says in the days, silver and gold was like gravel, stone. It was so common. There was nothing Solomon wanted to get, he will not get. His ships will go to Ophir. They will go, and that is, if you see that that novel they call King Solomon's Mine and all that. Yeah, you need to say that some people have been trying to look for where the man was digging that gold from. Was this zoology he didn't do? They brought animals. What is it? Kill your shaitan. Everything, you see those kings, they put lion, they put something, you did everything, but at the end of the day, the man said vanity upon vanity. This life you live is the screen saver. If you shake the mouse, so many of you today, you don't know screen saver. When you used to do Windows 98 and all that, XP. I don't know, is there still screen saver on Windows today? Where if you leave your computer for some minutes, you just see the screen saver to come up. Really, you click you press the button on the light or you shake the mouse. What happens? The life you are living now is screen saver. If you shake the mouse, the reality will show. And this is not what I wanted to. I was going elsewhere. I think I still have some time. So his offerings didn't, but his offerings activated the that blessing of God. And I appreciate him. He was really a wise man. Before God gave him wisdom, he was a wise man. We have to give him that. Give that to him. Before God gave him wisdom, he was a what? I think the Bible says somewhere that wisdom belongs to those who are wise or something. He gives wisdom. Thank you very much. Please let me search for that place. He gives wisdom to the world. I think he should give wisdom to fools. Like they said, Nelson Mandela and one white man, one white man was trying to rubbish Nelson Mandela. I don't know how true the story is. And the man said that, this is money, this is wisdom. Was asking Mandela, which one will you choose? Mandela said, I will choose the money. The white professor laughing at him, that stupid African monkeys. Mandela now told him, say, you take the one you don't have. He said, you take the one you don't have. I have wisdom. That's why I'm taking money. He said, but you don't have wisdom. You have money. So you will take the wisdom. Bible says he gives wisdom to the wise. Have you found it? No. And how did it start? Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 1. 7. That's 7.
verse 8. And Solomon said, look where he started from. He didn't even say, God, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He didn't say, God, give me wisdom and knowledge. He said, God, you have showed great. He started, even he realized that whatever I am today, I am because. And if you look at it, David did a lot of transfer into Solomon before he left, both good and bad. This is one of the good sides. You know the bad side now? So that guy offended me. No, let him pass this territory. This person offended me, deal with him. That one was costing me. Bearing Absalom's revolts, deal with him. Anyway, the enemies of the kingdom must die. Because if they are alive, they won't allow the kingdom to progress. Hallelujah. But this is a good side. I think David did a lot of things to explain what was going on to Solomon. I hope you know Solomon's origin, Solomon's source, how he came. See, we must begin to start to preach kingdom from Chronicles, Kings, from Ruth and Esther. If you are here, you are only a New Testament saint. You are not both an Old Testament and a New Testament person. You are not doing well. Praise God. You must be versed in both. Everything Jesus said, you will find them hidden in many of these places. Okay? So began I saying, you have showed great mercy to my father and has made me to reign instead, verse 9. And said, Lord, let your promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude, verse 10. Give me now, he now asks for what he wanted. Say, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before these people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God was impressed. Listen, I intentionally asked us to read Psalm 44. Because there's something about our fathers we have got to learn. It's been my emphasis in recent times. God does not start new things. He doesn't start things afresh. Even our Lord Jesus, God didn't just start with him. God had been talking about him through Isaiah, through Jeremiah. In fact, God had been talking to him since Eden about him. Listen to me, if you break away from the fathers, you will only suffer. Because God is not ready to start with you again. Understand that God is running a program. And he's progressing. And he doesn't have time. We are the one that has time. God does not have time. What God has is eternity. He doesn't have time. Okay? And because he doesn't have time, he doesn't care. He can do away with any. He looked at Eli and said, your lineage, they will never be. I'm taking the priesthood away from your clan. And we saw it come to pass, I think in the days of David or so. We cannot separate. There was something God did with the fathers. And we need to go and sit down with it. Apart from being a corporate church, a corporate body, do you know what God has said? How many of us will take time? You know, for many of us, our fathers didn't sit us down to tell us, God told me this thing at this time, God told me this at this time. God, how many of you had that opportunity? Look at us. It means that many things you are struggling with today, maybe you shouldn't struggle with them. Maybe if our fathers knew the Lord and they had told us some things, pay me and God, this was how we work, in the time, in daily life. And this was what God told me about this family and about this and about this. Many of us are just beginning to discover God in our families. For many of us up to this point, our parents were idol worshippers. Some of them even went to church, but they were not serious with God. Hallelujah. But really, certain information, if we knew them, I'm telling you, we'll approach certain things in a better way. The day we were going for the last wedding, when somebody was asking that, can calling be transgenerational? I said, well, I there's no scripture or anything, but I know that God can establish covenants with families. God can establish covenant with what? With families. We have it all over scriptures. God can zoom on a person. Did you read about Philip? The Bible says he had four daughters who prophesied. Did you read about Philip? Philip had four daughters who did what? Timothy, from his grandmother, the faith was to his mother, to Timothy. There was a continuum. Listen to me, you must make up your mind to start up something for God. That's why I'm always saying, God, give me something that is bigger than me. You find many people today, they come and they are third generation preachers, they are fourth generation. People like Perry Stone is like a fifth or sixth generation preacher. It means that five people before him had served the Lord. About five had served the Lord. Solomon was the man who wrote upon the covenant that God caught with his father. And that was the reason why the man had all the influence he had. Fine. You have a role to play also in activating that thing. And I think by him going to that brazen altar and sacrificing 1,000 burnt offerings, God came to him and asked, what do you want? All of us will come to that point. Thank God that Jesus also has done all the work. He finished the work on the cross. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But listen, you also have a role. Because they are also going to come and ask you, boss, what do you want? It may not come directly like that. But a time comes when an activation of certain things. It may be giftings, it may be blessings, it may be a blessing that is flowing. And I'm not even talking about your natural fathers alone. What of our spiritual fathers? What of our spiritual father? How do we handle them? You are one of those who go to Facebook to abuse them. You cannot be a part of it. You can't abuse somebody and be a part of his blessing. It's not possible. You can't. If anything at all, you will get a curse. You cannot abuse somebody and be a part of what? Of his blessing. Listen, those men cannot tell you more than what they have seen. So do you think you have known everything? They were faithful with what God gave to them. And that's why you are seeing them like that. Some of them have been working with God 40 years, 30 years. They've been coming. You think you have superior knowledge. Thank God for understanding that God is bringing to us. God is redefining things. But it doesn't make us look at them. We must even correct that mindset. We must even begin to correct that mindset of saying there's always a problem in the church. The church has always had problems. Ananias and Sapphira were one problem. Church has always had what? Church has always had problem. But you know what? It is the church of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is the only small sphere that we can influence. It's difficult for you now to enter into somebody's work or somebody's ministry and go and be saying you want to take the mic. Nobody will give you mic. The best you can do is to pray and say, God, certain things are going on there. Please help resolve it. Hallelujah. Solomon rode on the back of his father. What are you doing to your own father? Are you honoring them? Are you dishonoring them? It's a program. And that's why we need, I keep saying it, please forgive me, if that is my emphasis in recent times, go and read books, go and read men who have walked this, but go, not just the Bible alone, there are men that God used in the earth, and God followed that program until now that I am speaking to you. And even after we are gone, do you know that God will still run program? Hallelujah. God will still run program. But there are certain things that God has told our fathers we need to know. We need to know the plan of God for their time and for what they said. There were prophecies by Kinahegan about a church that was, going to come and all that. We need to go and learn these things. Let us go and sit down and say, are we taking advantage of the fact that our fathers walked with God? Or we are thinking that you want to start a new movement. See, starting a new movement is not easy. Hallelujah. Forget that faith preaching today has become very, very popular and people are making it from it and all that. Some people preach the same faith and we never had them. Some people were the foundation blocks for which faith teaching came. Hallelujah. There were priests in the villages, missionaries in the villages who did not... I know that if we ask about this white, Elisha white man now, Pyrethin, many people here don't know Pyrethin. If you ask, many people don't. In fact, Pyrethin is not even as popular as the children he bet. Hallelujah. He rode on the back of his father, and that's my emphasis this morning. And there will be questions for us to answer. What do you want? And the man began to leverage. He began to leverage on that covenant. He leveraged on that covenant. If God comes asking, what can we leverage on? Do we have anything to leverage on? Especially as concerns our callings and our ministries before God. Of course, we can leverage on the blood of the Lamb. That is where we stand on. But God is establishing covenant through those men up to us. Many men of God that you see today have become what they were because they met with somebody that transferred that commission to them. They continued from which somebody stopped. But if you say everything they are doing is not right, they are not doing according to scriptures, they are not this, they are not that. You know, why we are doing believers like this one, I and Father were sharing that. See, many things respond, the faith of people respond sometimes and you can't fault it. Hallelujah. The faith of people sometimes respond to things and you can't what? You can't fault it. Pastor Lebo, he finished eating, ate chicken. He didn't finish it. Boom, some girls who were looking for, I think she was looking for a child or something. She went and rushed in fact, they scrambled for the thing, they ate it. She became pregnant just in 1 month or 2 months time. Okay? So, as long as what you have done is not outside of the revelation of scripture, we need to give kudos to those men and respect them and honor them. Those that have died, let us honor their memory. Let us honor what God did in them and through them. So that when God comes calling and says, what do you want? You don't start asking what you think you know. You can leverage on what God did in the lives of the fathers. Or when God comes, God sees in your heart that you honor what I have been doing. Because most times when you dishonor what God is doing, you are dishonoring God. Bible says, whatever God does, abideth forever. He said, nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be what? Taken from it. It's as powerful as that. Even what God does, not even God himself, even the things that the hands of God does, Bible says they will what? Even the heavens and the earth, it is this current one that will pass away. There is still going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, because we cannot say too much of you. We are limited in our minds. We are limited in understanding. Father, as we have prayed this morning, we are asking for light. We are asking, Father, that you open up our hearts. Some of us are here, our hearts are locked up. You've been given a mold. You are locked up. You cannot accommodate. You cannot stand to relate with anybody that is not preaching according to certain modes or according to the way. Lord, I pray that you touch such hearts. In the name of Jesus, let your truth prevail. Help us to honor these men who have served you faithfully. In the name of Jesus. Help us also that by the time we are living, we'll be able to leave a legacy behind. in the name of Jesus. Help us to bring to breed strong families for you in the name of Jesus. Help us to breed men and women who will also be carriers of the gospel in the name of Jesus. These things you are doing with us will not end with us in the name of Jesus. Let it not be that we will not find a man in every generation that comes after us that will stand.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.